We're gonna try and come back one day. You know, God willing. 'Cause I remember used to say these three special words. Used to say, hey, I see you on my blank sheet before I write or form or record this situation. Now my memories choke me and stain my pillow as my voice becomes hollow as I trace tear lines around a space that won't fill. And I feel nothing but this way, and the emptiness stays and it's cluttered with a silence that teases me and leads me on like it's gonna say, like it's gonna say.
Welcome everybody to Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. It is a beautiful, beautiful day, and I want to thank everybody for your time. This is going to be a very, very special show. Oh, man. When I knew that I was going to be doing this show, I got excited, and I always get excited when I talk to my special guest of the day. I might start stuttering. You know, when you get so anxious and excited, it's hard to contain yourself sometimes, and I'm just very fortunate and happy to be able to bring her to you. Sometimes when you interview people, your guests, certain guests, they really don't need an introduction. You know, they just, you say the name and everybody knows who they are. But for those of you, because we're getting new listeners all the time, and if you're just tuning in for the very first time and you're not familiar with the name Queen Afua, I guarantee you by show's end, you will never forget this person, okay? So let me tell you a little bit about her. Queen Afua, an author and internationally renowned holistic health specialist. And Queen Afua began her wellness journey back in 1969. She has since built an empire that has comprised books, lectures, healing centers, and even music. Her first book, Heal Thyself for Health and Longevity, was published in 1993 and quickly became a bestseller, introducing her to a legion of dedicated followers. By 2001, she had published a second book, Sacred Woman, A Guide to Healing the Feminine Body, Mind, and Spirit, and she followed that up with City of Wellness, Restoring Your Health Through the Seven Kitchens of Consciousness. And as her readership and popularity grew, so did additional publications, and over the next years, she kept coming out with books. She came out with Overcoming of Angry Vagina. Then she came out with Man, Heal Thyself, The Journey to Optimal Wellness. And for nearly 30 years, she has presented her liberation through purification message internationally, through publications, television, radio, in hospitals, at colleges and universities, via satellite all around the world, even NASA. Her mission has always been to teach, especially African Americans, the art, the science, and joy of natural living. Her impact on holistic wellness has reached such notable clients as Stevie Wonder, Iyanla Van Zandt, Erykah Badu, Ben Vereen, and so many others. And I am just very, very humbled, honored to have her as my special guest today and to be able to share her with you. And we're going to be telling you about an awesome, awesome event that's coming up this weekend. I see the phone lines are lit up, and I want everybody to know if you want to talk to Queen, all you have to do is just press 1. And it will let me know that you have a question or like to make a comment. Maybe you just want to say hi. Maybe you just want to say thank you. So if you have a question and just want to talk to her, just press 1, and I'll bring you on. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Now, let me move out of the way. Queen, I bow to you, my sister. Welcome to Jawanza for Life. It's an honor. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure being with you. Thank you so much again.
Oh, it's truly my pleasure. And I tell you, once the word went out, the people responded. You see these phone lines over here. I mean, these lines are
so
packed.
Oh, so grateful. So grateful, yes. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. You've got a wonderful event coming up, and I want to make sure that I'm going to share this information several times throughout the show, because sometimes there are people that tune in and then they tune out. They might not be able to listen to the whole show, so I don't want to wait till the end and announce it and then somebody miss it. There's going to be a fabulous event coming up this Sunday, and it's going to be just a real awesome event. It's going to be at the Black Lady Theater at 750 North Nostrand Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. And in case you need the zip code, need to MapQuest that, it is 11216. And that's going to be from 2 to 6 p.m. There's going to be a ceremony, intermission, nutrition kitchen. From 6 to 10, there's going to be the Meshkinet Marketplace, Sacred Woman Expo, and even an after party. Queen, please tell us more about this event. It's the Sacred Woman Ascension musical drama. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, all of this is based on the book that I wrote and put out in 2000, which is Sacred Woman, A Guide to Healing the Feminine Body, Mind, and Spirit. And the sisters who are presenting, they are presenting as wellness healers for their family and for their community. They went through, or they would have, by the time we reached Sunday, they would have completed their Sacred Woman Ascension. And so that at that point, they are speaking from their death to resurrection. There are gateways that they go through. The gateways represent your spiritual inner being and your relationships. So every gateway, and there are 12 of them that will be shared, the women will go from death to resurrection in terms of monologues and dramas and song and dance and prayer. And each one, there will be groups of women. Some women are also traveling as we speak. They're flying in from Atlanta, Chicago, Canada, from Philadelphia, from Washington. So they're flying in to be a part of the drama, this living drama. Mm-hmm. So, for example, women who have been suffering from womb issues, and now they are no longer hemorrhaging 5, 7, 8 days of bleeding, and they're not angry at their past mates in their lives, then they would have been said, they would have been sharing how they came in dramatically to where they are now as they found themselves home. Others would be in the gateway of, that's the gateway of Nut, the Universal Sky Mother. And then we have the gateway, for example, gateway of Ma'at. Ma'at, for a whole nation, for a whole people, was based on balance, truth, righteousness, reciprocity, wholeness. And so in that gateway, it's about the heart and our emotions and our relations with our mothers, our fathers, our children, our community. So the relationships, and where they're not healed up, we get a heart attack, we get a stroke psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. And so where the women might have come in angry at their relationships, bitter, vengeful, they were able to clean up their hearts and balance their hearts over the process of the 12 weeks. And forgiveness came forth, and overcoming came forth, and they show you in a death to resurrection. I remember one of my old students came. He had not seen this work in a while, and he said he was on the edge of the chair because the stories were so poignant. They were so powerful, and the people and the families come and see it. They said, "That's my story. That's just talking about what I went through, and when I was stuck and stagnated." Or my inner child, I'm angry, although I'm a grown woman, I'm still reflecting on the hurt that I had when I was 7 years old. I never got over that, and I grew with that pain. So as we go from gateway to gateway, birthing our purpose, oftentimes we're at work that we hate, we feel totally unfulfilled because we have not found our purpose. And so the ones who would be representing that gateway, or the sisters representing that gateway, they would have possibly come in not knowing what they were supposed to do on coming on this planet Earth, how they were supposed to bring it home, and then they was able to find their way back to themselves and now birth their purpose. So it's 12 gateways, from sacred womb medicine, womb medicine, to word is medicine, to food is medicine. We're eating ourselves to death. We're overeating. We're toxic. And so someone will come in and cry about that. Very deep cry one of the sisters had she lost her child, but she was toxic. And so she was like, her life was in a balance. So a lot of things happen on our journey of life. And when they come to Sacred Women, they begin to heal those parts of themselves that need to become whole. And they do it as a collective of women from all parts of the country and some parts of the world. And that's the day that we do our healing drama. And on the same day, we also are graduating these women for accomplishing a great feat. And many of them have been able to heal their husbands as a result of taking their 12-week journey. Some have been able to heal some of the elders in their family. Some have been able to heal their children and, of course, themselves. And the healing is ongoing, so we don't stop here. That's why we call it the Ascension. This is a Sacred Woman Ascension weekend. And so we're going to go on Friday. Well, we're meeting at 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning to get in the bus and go out to the ocean before the sun comes up, because that's when we do our purification ceremony at the ocean, just cast away all our burdens on the water and do our prayers and our meditation. And then from there, we go to the a bathhouse and we do a three-hour intensive sweat, and we cleanse and we take our tonics and we put our clay packs on and we restore ourselves. And then we go to the botanical gardens and we have a unity circle that we never break the circle, that no matter where we are and what we're going through, that as we come together as the new sister to sister, as the original sister to sister, Asa Nebethet from the temple walls of Kemet, that we're going to hold dear our sisterhood, because if you can bring the sisters together, you can bring the families together. That's really what this is all about, family healing. So the brothers, the husbands, the fathers, they feel very involved because their daughters, their wives, their mothers are healing. And when you heal a woman, you do, as Lady Prim and others said, you do heal a nation, you heal a people. So that's what that's all about. That. And then that night, we're going to have our mini expo where the sisters get a chance to actually show that they have birthed their purpose, they birthed their work. So some just launched their websites. Some just broke out with their new product line, others new concepts and workshops that they've been putting on the shelf, afraid of bringing it forward. And over the 12 weeks, they've been encouraged, they've been supported and strengthened to live their purpose, live their lives as they are. Now, in that whole process, this is a walk that when the women come into this training and this lifestyle, which is the community gets a chance to see it. Some will be looking at it online. You'll be able to see it online on Facebook, or Sacred Woman Ascension. And so you'll be able to be with us no matter where you are in the country. And at the same time, there'll be some that will be coming at the doors, but you have to give us a call, see how many seats are still available. Whatever the level is, once we break through that door and that ascension, then we go into the next level. You have the womb, breast, heart care practitioners that are going to be taking their training. We're also graduating that day between Sacred Woman Rites of Passage. We're going to be graduating our Sacred Woman practitioners. Women are going to be able to go into the communities and do consultations and give spiritual baths and spiritual house cleansings and Sacred Woman sister circles. So so much work will be coming out of this. We're also going to have that same day our womb yoga dance teachers. They're going to do a mini presentation inside of that. And they're yoga teachers, and I've developed a system of yoga practice to prevent women from having hysterectomies and PMS and menopausal stress and toxic relationship blues and all of that. All comes together in a big blossom on Sunday.
You know, as I listened to you, and you said a whole lot in that period of time, just about everything that's going on and what the women are going to be doing. And, you know, this sounds like such a great big event, and I want to make sure that everybody comes out and supports that, because it is a celebration. It's a celebration of women coming together, women overcoming. I mean, and when I think about you, Sister Queen, and I think about the years that you've been doing this work, you keep giving birth to new projects, to new spiritual children. What do you attribute that to? I mean, because you planted a seed many, 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 many years ago, and I don't know if you realized that that seed would grow into this tree with so many branches. And these branches are branching, and they're just more branches coming. And I mean, we're talking about generations of people. I mean, you've reached the young people, you've reached the people, the elders. I mean, you've reached the people in the middle. I mean, what do you attribute that being able to connect with people like that? Because when we think about, for example, liberation through purification. You know, that's not a movement. That's more than a movement. Movements come and go, you know, but this is going to outlive you. And again, what would you attribute that? It's more than longevity. I mean, just to be able, that connectedness, to be able to connect with women of different religions, different age groups. I mean, what would you attribute that to?
Well, I can't help but I always think about Harriet Tubman. I contributed. I feel if she was able to come back over and over again and pick up 300 of us off the plantation, and she was traveling alone, and it was cold, and it was all through the year, and she would get us. I'm inspired by that. How could someone do such a thing? How could somebody be so in tune to be able to do that and not ever be caught and lived a ripe, mature age? Was never hung, although they had ramson on everybody. They would have wanted to take her life, but she was able to survive it and do it. I also contributed that to my mother and father, because my mother and father, they raised me real strong. Particularly my father. My father was a Garveyite, and so he would talk about freedom in the kitchen table. He talked about how we're going to survive as a people, and how we have to pull our resources, and how we have to work together. And when my father was leaving his body, a week before he left, he said, "Did you open?" I was in my 20s. I was maybe about 24. He said, "Did you open up your center yet?" And, you know, I went and I did my trainings and classes and all that. And so he knew that that's what I really wanted to do. And I took care of him for years while he was, you know, able, and I was able. And so he was very concerned that I open up the center. And when I said that I just did, he left 7 days later. And so he understood my purpose. He trained me to think like this, and I carry it on to the. He's an entrepreneur. He believes in having property and working together with your people and taking care of your family. And so I was his greatest student. That's how I look at it. And my mother supported me in my lab work. I've had 35 years with a lab. And so the kits that I have, the rejuvenation clay, the green life nutritional formula, the master herbal detox, all my kits, my mother managed the laboratory for over several decades, and she's at 94 still working in the lab. So and my parents were very strong in raising me and keeping me rooted, and they helped me raise my children. And then I was able to help raise our community.
Wow.
Because of that. What?
You know, I'm just, I just want the listeners to know, look, again, you can join this conversation. You know, it doesn't have to just be me and Queen talking and y'all eavesdropping. Y'all can join in the conversation and we can all have one great big group hug if you like. So just press one if you're listening online, if you want to jump in and say hi and make a comment. Queen, could we talk for a moment about blessings in disguise? Because there are a lot of women, men too, but since, you know, we're talking about women, and when we're talking about women, we are talking about men. But
yeah,
there are a lot of women who find themselves at points in their life where they wonder, how did I get here? You know, and looking back, they may look at, you know, situations in their life that may have been viewed at the time as bad situations. But now that they're coming through that, and these situations may have brought them to the point where they've finally somehow, through divine providence, connected with you, now many of these sisters are coming through the gateways, going through this celebration. Many of them have found their purpose as a result of situations that may have happened in their life that at the time that they were going through, they didn't seem like they were blessings at that time. But in retrospect, when looking back at the people that you might feel have hurt you along the way, the people that you might feel have stabbed you in the back along the way, everything served to bring you to Queen of Four. Okay? Something had to get you to where you found Queen. And now, having found Queen, now here, now you've gone through the gateways, and now you're standing and you're looking at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, how did I get here? It could have been because of the blessing that was disguised. Could you talk about blessings in disguise?
Well, in liberation through purification, I always say that every lesson is a blessing. And if you get the lesson, because then you get the blessing how I look at life is really that if we're in a school. We're in a hospital, too, on the planet. We came here to heal. And we came here to heal naturally when we learn. But every lesson is a blessing means that every single experience that we've ever had, it's our curriculum. And if you look at yourself from a deeper place, why did I bring that relationship into my life? I want us all to take our baths tonight with this vision. Whoever you're angry at, that is a part of yourself. That's the extension of your legs and your arms. Those are messengers. They came to show you what you need to do, what you need never to do again, what you need to rethink about, because wherever we are frequency, and we bring in who we really are, what we're going through in our conscious or our subconscious mind. So if someone comes in and they take a lot from you, the message may be that you have to stop overextending yourself. You have to learn how to say no when it's appropriate. And when you that and start to trust that innate state, that inner voice, when you start to listen from within, that becomes your lesson. Wow, how many times have we heard our inner voice give us a signal? Don't do that. And we did it anyway. And then we end up regretting it. Our inner voice, that spirit we call God, Olodumare, Jah, Jehovah, was talking to us and giving us the direction, but we did not listen. We did not pay attention. And so as a result, that relationship continued to happen. If we take time to reflect on the relationship and why did it even come into being, inside of that lies the answer to our liberation. We get a chance to see how we can shift ourselves going forward. So when it happens again, and history keeps repeating itself until you get the lesson, then when it comes again, you'll say, wait a minute, this is the aha moment. I know I shouldn't do this again. I've been here, I've done that. I'm going to do something different. And all of a sudden, the world opens up now for you. You begin to blossom. So out of the mud, that's when we look at the mud as a gift. And that is a symbol of Nefertum. Out of the mud of challenge, if you clean up, fast and purify and pray and bathe and do all of your work of releasing and letting go and forgiving and learning, you'll get a chance to come to the top of the water. As our ancestors say, you'll be able to blossom into your true nature. And their botanist, I remember Dr. Jude Pulchram, my dear beloved friend, master healer and surgeon. She put down her scalpel and picked up her leaves and her brain balancing. She had sent me an article about some botanists, some scientists who master the plants. And the botanist was curious about this lotus and why it was so revered from a comedic African-centered place. And they put dirt, they put grease on the leaves, on the flower, and within moments, the dirt and the grease would come together in a ball and roll off the petal, not ripping the petal, not leaving a stain behind it, none of that. That's how we are. Out of the mud. We call the mud bad. But if you learn from, if somebody beat you up, then you have to say, was I beating myself up? Was I putting myself down? Was I denying myself time for me? And then you get, if you do those things, then you're going to get beat up from somebody, from life, from experiences. And when you start saying, no, I'm going to take care of myself going forward. I'm going to put myself number one. I'm going to start healing myself. Then all of a sudden, relationships begin to reflect that. And those relationships that you attract become relationships that are supportive, just like you're supporting you. So that's where every lesson becomes a blessing, because every lesson gives you greater enlightenment and greater clarity. So out of that mud, if you study the mud, you take time to process the relationship, then you won't repeat the cycle. You know, if someone can end a relationship and it repeats itself again, the outfit change, they change their job, but it's the same relationship. So that means you're recycling. You have not overcome. You have not learned from it. So here we go again until you begin to blossom through your cleansing and your purification.
Everybody, aren't you glad you tuned in? Aren't you glad you tuned in? Hey, listen, while you're listening to Queen, you can text somebody and tell them that Queen's on the air, and they can tune in and get the same benefit that you're getting and receiving this. We all get to sit at the feet of Queen Afua for an hour or so today, and I'm so thankful. Queen, let's take one of the gateways that I think is a very, very important one, and I wouldn't say that it's overlooked, but I just want to just bring attention to it, because we're constantly doing it. We're always talking. You know, we're always talking. We wake up, we talk, we're talking on the phone, we go to work, we got to talk, we have to communicate. So words are important. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, I think sacred words is the second gateway. Is that,
Actually, could you talk about sacred? It's amazing that you're saying that, because before you started speaking, I was thinking about that you were going to ask me about the gateway of Tahuti. But the hoodie represents the throat. And that's your, of course you would ask for that, because that's your work. Your work is all about communication, using wisdom, using words as power, of medicine. That's all, that's what you do as a way of life. And so Tahuti. Well, Tahuti in the body and all the gateways represents your anatomy. So as I talked about my eye, that represents your heart. I talked about Newt for a second, that represents the uterus. And in this case, the hoodie represents your throat. Someone has a goiter, a loss of their voice, which represents a loss of communication, a loss of being clear about what you're saying and then what you're getting as a result of not being clear about what you're saying. Or you may have a throat issue because you don't know how to speak up. You're afraid. Something happened. You were discouraged young, that you did not have a voice and that what you had to say was not of importance. And so you just stifled yourself. And so to hoodie, It's about medicine, and the word for the medicine within the gateway of the wisdom and the word and the writer and the scribe, that represents Heka'u. Heka'u means words of magic, words of power, and what our ancestor says, what you think you create. So as you're speaking it out, you're literally creating your life. So in order to create a vibrant life and be mindful, you have to think, really, as the old statement, you have to think before you speak. If you start thinking and you haven't cleaned up your thoughts, then you're going to think and speak yourself into turmoil, or you're going to speak yourself into resurrection, into recovery, into overcoming. Some would say, oh, I'm angry at this person. I'm going to get back at them. That means that you're going to get back at yourself, and your blood's going to be toxic, your arteries going to become constricted, your colon's going to shut down, your pressure's going to go, all of that because your thoughts and your words were not on the higher frequency of learning from it and then growing to higher levels, using every word as a wand, every word as an upliftment. So you will choose your words wisely, because you are creating your new life from the words that you're speaking. You're creating your new vision, your books, your new job from what you said. Someone says, oh, I hate my job, and so you lose your job. Then you say, how could I be fired from my job? No, because you said you hated it, so that's your protection, so you are pulled away from it. As opposed to saying, I am creating my new work right now as I speak, and I'm keeping myself open to new work. I'm keeping myself open to healthy relationships. You said, well, I got beat up and I keep getting beat up. No, don't keep getting beat up. Say, I was challenged because I was unconscious. Now I'm going to become more conscious of what I create and what I think, and who I allow in my home, who I allow in my heart, who I allow in my bedroom. You have to be thinking and speaking your new life, whatever that is. And so we do that sometimes in journaling. What do you want? You can journal one way and write down what you feel for the day, or you can be very proactive and write down what you want to experience that day or what you want to bring into your life and speak it through your scribing. So Tahuti deals with the scribe, and I'm a scribe because I wrote the books. And we all have a scribe in us, and we can write one line and change the world, or we can write a song and inspire a whole nation. Or we can write a book and heal people's lives, even when we're not there. So the hoodie also represents that writer. So inside of the gates, in any of the gates, we have the meditation, we have the prayers, we have the color of that gate, we have the sacred stones, we have the lessons to be learned. Even in Tahuti, sometimes we talk too much. Sometimes we gossip. We talk bad about people. And then we wonder why some things come back. So we have to even watch what we're saying and putting out and projecting out, because that also comes back in the circles. We have to sometimes say, I stand to be corrected in what I'm thinking and what I'm speaking, because what's coming back is causing more pain and suffering as opposed to liberating us. So every word is medicine now, and that creates a whole new way of approaching your words. You're very mindful of what you're saying. So you don't curse people out, because what you're doing is you're cursing yourself. You don't put your children down, because as they grow up, they're going to come back and attack you. You don't argue with your mate. You sit down and you reason and you breathe and you relax and you have a cup of tea together, and then you discuss what you're really feeling and how healing needs to take place in that union. So there's so much in Tahuti in the word as medicine.
Wow. You know what? You said something, and it just made me think of, you were talking about words, and sometimes we talk too much and people gossip. And when taking responsibility for your own actions, it's probably easier to not gossip than it is to stop someone else from gossiping to you. So let's say, for example, somebody, you've decided, okay, I'm not going to gossip, and you're clear about that, and you stick to your affirmation that you're not going to do that. But then someone calls you on the phone, and they start gossiping. Are you man or woman enough to stop it? To stop them? Could you talk about that importance? Because if people stopped other people from gossiping, then, you know, we wouldn't have to worry about it, because people not only taking control of their own mouth, but sometimes even having to tell someone else, hey, listen, I'm not going there with you. If you don't have anything positive to say about the person, I'm guarding my energy. I'm not getting drawn into that. How important is that? Just being able to even stand up and stop someone else from gossiping, because that is a big issue in our community.
Well, you know what? Everything works in a circle. So what you put out is also what's coming back at you. While you're speaking about someone, someone is also doing likewise. So if you don't want that negative energy to be sent towards you, then you need to then shift as one who's giving it. One who's listening, if you're listening to it, then you're a part of it. And it's the same thing. It's the same energy. And they're coming to you because you're one with that. And so they know who to gossip to. And you may not say one word. So I didn't say anything. They know who to come to. They know who will fire them up. Because if you listen to someone gossip and they go in it, that means that they know that you are one to be a part of the crime. It's a crime scene taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that. So it's just as deep as if you were speaking as also listening. And so you can then, it's time to do self-inventory. If you're getting a lot of negative conversations coming at you, then it's time to do some healing. It's time to do some internal, like soul searching. Why I constantly get people talking about other people about me, or you just change that. So then the people won't even vibrate at your rate, because you'll be vibrating at a higher rate. So people come to you in the future, they'll be coming more with solutions. Mm-hmm. They'll be coming and how can we work things out? So you can actually see if a lot of people are gossiping around you, you are toxic. And you need to clean up and lift up your frequency. And so the cleansing and the healing is going to help to bring that about. And so even when someone comes, you can correct them. You can say, you know what, we all need help. And if we help, then that person would not be so broken. So have compassion. So we're asking them to maybe open up their heart and teach the person who's gossiping. They say, oh, okay. And they might remind them, you know what, remember the time that you were stressed out and you had a hard time and people didn't understand you and I was there for you? Well, then maybe you need to be there for that person. Maybe you need to call them up and say, how can I help you? How can I pick you up? Okay? There's no more crab in the barrel. And there's no more damage. Otherwise, we just stay a damaged people. And it's a cesspool of toxic conversation that is destroying us with every word that we speak as a people.
Somebody needed to hear that. Somebody needed to hear that out there. So everybody, listen again. You want to jump in the conversation? Just press one. Can we talk about, let's take another one. Let's talk about sacred dress for a moment. There's been a lot in the news lately about sexual harassment in the workplace. People, you know, women coming out and talking about being sexually harassed. Now, I'm not in any way, so don't go back, y'all, and start gossiping about me, okay? Because I'm not saying that it's any woman's fault that any man, you know, approaches them wrong. I'm not saying that. No man, I will go on the record as saying, no man should approach a woman in a disrespectful manner, okay? Say things or do things that the woman feels uncomfortable with. But I would like to say this and get Queen's take on it. One of the gateways is sacred dress. And I saw this gateway in action. One of Queen's students, and I can call her name, Abut Shishapnis, Mut Shishapnis Ma'atnafert. I saw her one time, we were doing an interview actually at the radio station, and she walked in, and of course, she was dressed in her sacred garments. I saw the men react in a way, I mean, they were running to open doors for her. I mean, they were running to, you know, just they wanted to assist her if she had, you know. And I saw that, and it amazed me because I was like, wow, that's the sacred dress in action. Queen, could you talk about that, the respect that women get and how you can affect how people even approach you? If you don't like the way that men are approaching you, okay, you can actually affect that because you have the power to do that. Queen, your thoughts on sacred dress?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the gateway of heteru, and that's about sacred beauty. And although beauty is actually from within, and how your outer appearance is actually your inner feelings, your inner thoughts. And as you start to heal from inside, it's going to pour out on what choices that we make. And what happens with garments and clothing as colors, it's a language. It speaks. And when a woman is, and I know she's probably had a lapa on, maybe a shawl, and she might even have the colors of the day. But what happens with that woman and the way she carried herself is how she, with the garment. The garment and the carriage is all connected. So it's not just the garment, because you could put something on and you carry yourself on a very low level and you're fighting and you have an attitude. So it's a whole package of a woman. The garment will reflect her royalty. We are the first mothers of civilization. We are the original healers on planet Earth. So when we carry ourselves in a very high way as a woman, then we are going to be attracting that from our families. We're attracting that from our possible mates, our husbands, our sister friends. The respect of ourselves and our garments is going to reflect in how our relationships respond. Now, not always, because sometimes one will be feeling intimidated, frightened, because you look different. So is that you have to have courage to even take the jeans off. And you know, jeans is a cowboy outfit, you know, a cowgirl outfit. It's not our culture. So we were given garments to wear as part of our cultural heritage. And when we wear the lapa, when we wear the skirt, we wear the grand boobas, when we wear our headdresses, when we wear our shawls, when we wear our colors, many people are in blacks and browns and grays. And that also is why people are so depressed and stressed. And when you work with the lavender, for example, in your colors, your draping, that represents intuition. When you're working with the yellows and the golds, that represents Tahuti, the wisdom. When you're working with the blues, that represents the great mother, and that's the darker blue, and the lighter blue is Fanut, the great mother of womb healing and rebirthing yourself. So even with the colors and the flow of it, that affects how you move in your world. When women wear tight pants, automatically she's going to shut down her uterus. And so that helps to fester fibroid tumors, so it's not healthy. Not enough oxygen is flowing in. And then her temperament is hardened as a masculine principle, as opposed to being able to have the feminine flow. So the garment is very key, just like food is. That's another form of medicine.
Queen, the phones are lighting up. Somebody wants to talk to you. You ready to take some calls?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to call the last four digits of your phone number, and here we go.
All righty.
6271, you're on the air with Queen of Four. Thank you so much for your patience. Welcome to the show.
Peace and love. This is Sister Alexis. Greetings to you all. Yes, Sister,
greetings.
You know me by face from Rhinebeck, from Omega Institute many years ago.
Oh, my, yes.
I brought you over there.
thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's nice to hear your voice.
give thanks. We really need, we definitely needed you. The community needed you. So thank you for even taking the time to come. So I wanted to address, because as I've been going in different circles and reaching out and people reaching out to me, and even for my own personal life, as I'm going through this journey of doing healing and detoxing, what's happening is, and also within my travels, what's happening is my family, they aren't very accepting. So I get a lot of criticism from them.
And so what are they criticizing you on? What are they criticizing you on?
The things that they probably want to do. So the way I eat, the way I don't entertain maybe television the way they do, the way I don't splurge on things that maybe aren't for the best, you know, clothing rather. Like, you know, I don't buy the new Jordans or things of that nature. And so it's becoming a big wedge in between us. So my question is, or what's your suggestion of how to deal with basically toxic family members?
Okay. Well, you know, that is why I came to Omega and I did that piece on the family. And
right.
What happens is you are the healer, and that is who I'm speaking to now. You're the healer. There's a healer in every home, and there's always at least one. If we can go back into our subconscious, our remembrance, there was a grandmother, a grandfather, there was an uncle, there was an auntie. She was the one who was the midwife, the herbalist. She got the bushes. She had the pot liquor soups. She was the one, he was the one who was that one in the family. They were a little peculiar, a little different, but everybody came to them. So what happens is you're following a legacy. And you are the healer. And, of course, you're going to look a little strange right now. And you're young. As you mature as a healer, they're going to have more respect for you. But in the beginning, you just have to hold your own. And so you come in a circle. So I would invite you to come into the Sacred Woman Circle. We have a rites of passage for women so that we can empower and wake up that inner healer. Now, what happens when you're with a group of other women? We always have 100 women every time we have a rites of passage from different parts of the country, and we have online and face-to-face. When you're with 100 women, that cracks you open to a higher frequency. And then we have our ascension ceremony. The family who are non-believers, when they witness you and your transformation with the other women giving their stories, because that's what Sunday is about, sharing our transformation stories, they're going to say, wait a minute, now I get it. Meanwhile, you have been transforming and you learned the herbs, the plants, the food. So when they are ready, when they've gone through enough struggle, enough of a crisis, they will look at you in a whole nother light. Your time will come. But what you have to do now is keep on your healing quest, being fully inspired and charged, because when you change and eat, no longer eating of the flesh and the dairy and all of that, they're going to be hospitalized because you pay a price for being ignorant about what you're putting into your body. They're going to get those fibroid tumors and heavy bleeding and clotting. And who would they come to? You. And they're going to get high blood pressure eating all the meat and the fried and the microwave and all that. Who are they going to come to ultimately? You. When they come, just don't say, I told you so. Give them the tea, give them the bath, give them the juice, give them the salad, and keep it moving. Eventually, as you mature, more will come in the community, in your family, because you've set the tone and you are strong enough to stand your ground. So continue to stand your ground and keep your mind and not listen, look at visuals that's going to break your family members down. You're the one who's going to lift up your whole family. It's coming through you, so be empowered.
Asha, give thanks and praise. I appreciate it.
Give thanks.
Thank you so much for your call. Okay, got another call we're coming to. Next, 3766. 3766, you're on the air with Queen of Four.
Hi, this is Sister Amy. This is such an honor to talk with you. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. I have a kind of question. I've followed you for several years. I think over the last 3 months, I really have gotten really serious about my journey of what I eat, how I present myself, how I'm transforming myself. And yeah, it's been challenging, but it's been wonderful at the same time. But what I find very, I guess, strange now, there are all these people that are coming from my past that I've forgiven and left in my past, and they're just, like, coming out of the woodworks. and, you know, wanting to befriend me again and open a friendship again. And I love them, but I'm just not in that space where I want to be friendly with them again. I
you
just
know,
don't
that's
know what
such
that
a blessing. I see the whole thing. That is a blessing to you. It's not so much you have to start up a new relationship. It is just showing you that you have overcome those relationships. And where they would have been toxic then, they are showing you through you that you have healed yourself so much so that your past is coming to say, I apologize, or I appreciate what you was trying to tell me. That means that you have done some internal work that is showing up in those who are coming. It doesn't mean for you to do anything else with it, but to say, it's nice seeing you also. Thank you so much. I'm praying for you. And be done. So that's a good karmic vibrational healing that has already taken place. So you just have to, as they come forth, smile and say, give thanks. Give thanks and give thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Good thanks.
Thanks, sister. Thank you for calling in. Queen, can we talk for a moment about sacred union? That's another one of the gates. And for a lot of people, relationships pose, they can be the source of immense joy, or they can be the source of immense pain, or at least, shall I say, if not the source of it, the interpretation of that this person is doing me wrong or this person's hurting me can cause a lot of people to feel defeated and, overrun. So could you talk about sacred union, because that's one of the gates, and how important it is to be connected, because we all, being on this planet, we want to be connected to something, you know, to someone. You know, everybody wants love, if it's love. So could you talk about sacred union and the importance of that gateway?
Yes. Well, the union, the foundational union is the reunion with yourself. And that gateway is a combination of Ma'at, which is the relationships represent your heart is balanced or out of balance. It shows where you are on the scheme of life on your journey and what has to come into balance. So relationships reveal to you where you are. And if you listen deep enough and trust your intuition of Nebuchadnezzar, then you will see what you need to do in shifting your inner relationship with yourself so that it shows out on the outer plane. So the relationship also is the gateway of Mother As and Asad, the masculine feminine principle. So when you're looking outside of yourself and there's relationships, mates that from the past has been confusion, pain, and sorrow, it just shows that your brain, your psyche is not balanced. So that's the right brain is the feminine principle, and the left brain is the masculine principle. Medicine is when the two sides of the brain, of the hemisphere, comes together and one force, and that's actually the sign of medicine. You can see it as a caduceus. It's just two snakes wrapped around, going from right to left, and coming up to the top of the brain. And then there is the wings, which represents Ma'at. So when your spine, from your bottom of your spine to your crown, starts to merge and your right and left brain come together, you are in union with your divine self. When you are in union with your divine self through your healing journey, your fasting, your detoxification, words as medicine, not getting sexual with people who are toxic, getting unstuck, living your purpose, speaking yourself into your higher self, when you start to work with the principles, you will be able to wake up that left and right brain, and then you have the feminine principle of intuition fully active, trusting what comes through you no matter what it looks like. You begin to trust your inner self. And on the masculine level, that's the material. So when one wants to bring that together, the masculine, the feminine side will wake up in the morning at 4, for example, both women and men, listen to the voice of the Most High, give you your guidance, your instruction, because that's where you pick up your treasure chest, listening from an intuitive, high, spiritual place. Now the masculine side will show up in the middle of the day as the day the sun is getting stronger, as As or Asar. That's when you womanifest or manifest what you have gathered at the 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's now when you can bring both of those together, then you think the thought and then you create the value. Like, for example, on your radio station, you thought about this before it happened. You processed, you meditated, you visualized. the concept, the name, how you want to work with your guests. All that happened, that's the feminine principle. Now, to bring it into the material, you then had to say, okay, this is going to be the blog talk. This is when it's going to happen. I'm going to, these are my guests. That's the masculine side. This is the phone number. This is what I expect to achieve. Now, you brought those two together and you birthed that union. You birthed that unity. That principle goes across the board. So whatever you are, whenever you want a union with someone else, you really have to have a union with yourself. And the deeper your commitment to unifying with your with yourself, your higher self, is the healthier the relationships are going to be. The if your relationship with yourself, if inside yourself you dress beautiful on the outside, and you have all your accolades worked out, but inside you feel rotten, you feel anxious, you feel stressed, you don't trust yourself, all that hidden stuff, then that's what's going to show up in the relationship. So that means that's what has to heal. So if you say, well, I'm angry at women, I'm angry at men, I can't have relationships. No, what you say is I don't have a relationship with myself yet. Or I do have one, but it's a toxic relationship that I have with myself. Why? Maybe things were passed down through the bloodline. Your mother, your father, your grandparents, aunts, uncles, it's in the bloodline. These are things that have to be purified. You are not a prisoner to your DNA. You can clean that up. You can purge that. And, you know, that really leads me into the new year, new you, 2018. I'm having a one-day fasting shut-in, and we're going to go into our New Year's 21-day Detox Your Life program. So I'm hearing of some of that on the call that everyone's not going to come to Sacred Woman because that's going to start in spring, but they register. Everyone's not going to come into womb, breast, heart training, but they may, both women and men, husbands and wives, may decide to take the 21-day New Year, New You Detox Your Life program with me at the top of the year and start now by cleansing and getting this house in order so that you can go through this next cycle of your life on a higher level. And within that, you go through your 21 days, all of a sudden you're in harmony with your relationship that you have. There's a couple that came to see me 3 days ago. And they sat down, and I just asked them a few questions. One of them, I said, are you sharing your bedroom together? And he looked at her, she rolled her eyes, and she leaned over to away from him. I said, okay, well, how long have you been married? They've been 25 years, so that sounds about what happens. After about 20 years of misunderstanding, of being angry, of wanting to get back at each other, of acting out your parents and all that stuff, then you start to divide, but you have to share the house because it's a necessity, or the children, all that conversation. And so I said, he had called me up, the brother called me up, he said, you know, my wife needs healing. I said, okay. And then he started, I said, you know what, I also have this issue, I have a little bit of my diabetes is getting, my high blood pressure. I said, okay, you know, I said, I think you both need some healing. And if you both come for healing, then you can come into a union. So I spoke to him, I spoke to her, and I said, you may not be able to share the same bedroom together or the same conversation. You can't. They're rolling their eyes at it. And she thinks something's wrong with her, and she said there's something wrong with him. And all of this has happened. I said, but if you know what, if you go into your room, and I'm talking to the brother, you go ahead and heal yourself over the next 21 days and into a lifestyle, and she does likewise, your wife, and she does the go into herself and see who she really is right now after 25 years. And start cleaning up her life and the anger and the disappointments, you're going to come out of that in better communication because you went inside and you did the work to heal yourself. And that's really the bottom line. So relationships are really an extension of everything that we're feeling and all that we're doing or not doing for ourselves.
You know, Queen, could you talk for a moment about, I'm trying to figure out the word to use for this, because I know that there has to be somebody that's experiencing or has experienced it. And that is, when you come into this knowledge, people, sisters come, and at some point in their life, their paths cross with yours, and they get consumed. I mean, they meet you, they hear you, they feel you, and it's like, that's it. That's what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been looking for, and they can't get enough. They're going through the gateways. They're going through they're doing the City of Wellness. They buy every book. They're at every lecture, you know, but they're in a relationship. But they might be in a relationship. And mm-hmm. as they found the relationship with themselves, as they're starting mm-hmm. to love themselves again, as they're starting to heal, as they're starting to pull back the layers, and they're starting to see this beautiful, beautiful blossom that's coming up, this lotus that's coming up out of the mud, they may pull away from their mate because they have found themselves for the first time in their life. Like you mentioned, you know, you might have some woman who's found her voice now. She's realizing that her significance is important, that she is somebody, that she has something to offer. She's discovering her talents and, you know, all of these things, and she might unconsciously pull away from her mate. Matter of fact, the woman that you mentioned who rolled her eyes and pulled away, she might not have even been conscious that she pulled away. You know what I mean? So it could be an unconscious pulling away as women start to discover who they are, fall in love with themselves again, and if their mate is not on that same path, what advice would you give to somebody that's out there that's dealing with that? Because, you know, there's also this thought that, well, you got to let people be who they are, you know. So let's say, for example, you take a sister who's got a mate that's not on the holistic health path, although she's on it, and she doesn't want to force him because she feels like, well, hey, he's got to be who he is, you know. What would your thoughts be to that? Because, again, as women become consumed with loving themselves, which is a good thing, they can actually start to pull away. And same thing for brothers. If a brother's going through the same thing and he's finding himself, he could unconsciously start moving away and getting more engulfed in the new you or the new him or her that they found.
Well, I do have a training that is simultaneous. One is Sacred Woman, Rites of Passage, and the other one is Man Heal Thyself, Wellness Warriors. So if they choose to, they can move together. But that's not always the case. So I'm going to go to the other, because we always there's always solutions, options, different approaches, and relationship. You can start to share as a woman or a man. When you start to do better, you don't overwhelm the person and start telling them what they're going to do. What you do is you offer, you present, you serve, and you can actually serve and present and demonstrate, and your mate will observe you looking better, feeling better, acting better, house cleaned up. They say, wait a minute, this must be working. Now, don't say too many words, because women, we say everything. We've said it already. We beg, we plead, we talk. Just give him, run him a bath. That might work. And put some lavender in there and put some Dead Sea salt, a pound or Epsom salt, and light a candle for clear vision and put some jazz on and make him some apple or pear juice. Do that once or twice a week and watch him come out kinder, sweeter, more loving. Or make him some hawthorn berries to clean out his heart and to clear out those arteries while he's having poor circulation. Or start to just speak words of peace in the house as opposed to words of anger and rage. So as you heal as a woman or heal as a man, you are gently present, because oftentimes when one starts healing, they start telling people what they're going to do. They say, oh, look how you eating, look how you looking, look how you doing. They start to criticize. One of the things is a brother came and the wife, I said, why are you upset? Because he said she has problems. That's what he said. And he said, the reason why I'm angry, I don't like him, is because he puts me down every time he talks to me. He's suffering from the patriarchal syndrome. But he's going to appreciate soon come the mothership, the matriarch. So you're going to start to appreciate each other as you start appreciating yourself. So it is it's an ebb and flow of the relationship, of the healing. So you work with in different formats. You be an example. Sometimes you can't say anything to people. You just have to show and prove that you are getting more energy. If you were tired all the time and all of a sudden you have energy, or your skin starts to clear up, or you have a better disposition, or you're more patient, people will respond to that positive energy. Don't feel you have to make them do it, push them to do it, force them to change any habits. You have to demonstrate, and that becomes a frequency of energy that permeates. It's like you come to someone's house who's fighting or arguing, or that before you got there, you can feel that, just like someone can feel you, and they can feel a change and a shift. Now, in some relationships, you came here to end something. If it's abusive, if someone pushes, you might have come to end it, to let it go. But if you don't, the one who is leaving, if you don't hold on to your wellness, then you're going to repeat that relationship all over again because it's your relationship that you have created in the first place.
Well, could you talk for a moment briefly about just the need to reflect after you get out of a relationship? Don't just jump right back into another one, but take some time to reflect, to do the work, to discover who you are in the absence of a companion, you know, so that when you do connect with someone else, you are connecting as a whole, healed woman, not somebody that's in need of someone to coming into a relationship needy, because then if you're starting off needy, then, and that's, you know, that's not a put down, it's just the reality, and that's for men too. You know, if you're coming into a relationship needy, then that puts a lot of pressure on the other person to be to be that strong shoulder for you to lean on, and that's nothing wrong with that, but a lot of times people haven't even found who they are, and then they're dealing with somebody that is bringing baggage from the past relationship. Could you talk about the need to heal, the relationship that you're getting out of? If you've decided that it's time to let it go, it's just time, then take some time to heal before you get into something else.
Well, you're so right. You're right on point. What happens oftentimes when one ends a relationship, they're afraid to be with themselves. They're afraid to have a relationship with themselves, so they go out from the pan into the frying pan. They want to get something quick. They want to get into intimacy quickly. They want to soothe the pain that they just came out of, not knowing that they have not healed, so they could create the pain again. It may, you know, after the honeymoon period, though, the person looks so much better than what you just came out of. But then after the honeymoon period, wait a minute, this is the same situation. This is the same person. This is the same conversation. Wait a minute, here I go again. So that's where you have to have that time for soul searching, for soul inventory. You got to go in and just do some checkups and some check-in. One of the exercises that I have inside of the Gateway of Ma'at is study all your relationships. You don't have a relationship now, perfect. This is the time that you can actually study, reflect, and grow, and then from there you'll be able to create a healthy relationship. So study at the time that you have that relationship that you just came out of, or the other, all of them, two, three, or four of them. What state was you in when you brought that relationship into your life? What were you feeling at that time in your life? How were you feeling at that time? Were you depressed? Were you angry? Were you happy? Were you joyous? Were you where were you? What were you eating? Because food also has vibration and energy. If you're eating flesh and fried and canned and junk, as opposed to a lot of greens and juices and water, what were you eating at that time? And what were your desires? What were you working towards? Were you working on a job that you hated, or were you working towards a vision that was coming through you, or an entrepreneur spirit? What was going on in your life? And as you start to do that reflection, that inventory, that soul-searching period, you get a chance to see also some of the pathology, some of the repeated cycles that you constantly are doing. And you'll get it, then you, from that point, now you give yourself at least a season, so you can season into wellness, where you can now clean up, let go, shift your words, change your attitude, clean your house, clean your colon, clean out your blood, forgive, send some forgiveness letters, apologize, learn from all of those relationships. Say what you really want out of life as opposed to what you've been getting. And with that, now you reflect and you say, Most High, am I ready? Go within. Am I ready for a sacred union? Is this person, and don't be quick to jump to that relationship and get intimate. What is the relationship? That relationship may be just a friend. You're just coming into yourself. It may be somebody you just as a companion. It may not be a serious, it may not, oh, this must be my husband. This must be my wife. This is what I've been waiting for. You just met him a week ago, but you're so anxious still. So just not to be fearless in your wellness, to be fearless in your healing, and to trust that you are growing your relationship right now from inside yourself. And the type of woman, the type of man, the type of mate that you desire in your life is only going to come from the type of man or the type of woman that you have become.
Now, what about fear, Queen? Because you might take somebody who is just the opposite. They might feel like, oh, they're not ready to jump into another one. They're feeling too good now. I mean, they found themselves. They are, you know, falling in love with themselves again. They've gotten their voice back, and they like what they're seeing in the mirror. I mean, they've healed their body. They've gotten away from the drama and the trauma and all of that, and they're feeling good now. And they're like, you know what? I ain't messing this up. You know, I ain't thinking about getting in no relationship with nobody. You know that saying, I can do bad by myself. I mean, a lot of times when people clean up, you know, it becomes they become fearful of getting into another relationship just for fear of the fact that it might be too good to be true. They're distrusting. You know, oh yeah, this brother coming with the same line. I heard that one 1,000 times. You know, he ain't fooling me. You ain't getting me. You know. So what would you say about people who have gotten themselves together and now they're afraid to trust again? They've gotten themselves cleaned up and they're feeling good and they're like, I don't want to mess this up.
Well, that means that they haven't healed. See, because that means you need more time with you. It's not that you are really saying, I don't trust the relationship. You still need to trust yourself. That's the message. Do you trust yourself? It's not what that person's going to tell you. You are going to get, as you really heal, you start to get more connected to the source of life, to the source of the universe. We call Olodumare, Jah, Jehovah, the Most High. You become in alignment, as my girlfriend Lady Plymouth says, in line with the divine. As you become more in line, you begin to hear clearly, this is time now for this relationship, or this relationship is actually a friendship. This relationship is a business partner. You don't get confused about what relationships are. So if you're still getting these signals, I'm afraid, I'm concerned, that means your heart is still wounded. Your heart is still broken to a certain level. You're better, you look better, you feel better. But if you've had 10 years of pain in your heart, from relationship to relationship, your heart has still wounds in it. You need more time. You need more seasons until you're not looking at what that person is saying. You're looking at what the divine is saying to you, and through you, the relationship becomes what it is. So in that fear, you just take the fear is the heart, and how you heal the fear is green. Go to the garden. Start to eat foods from the garden. So cucumbers, watercress, parsley, chard. Kale, the darker the greens, the healthier your heart is going to be, emotionally and physically and spiritually. And then you become fearless with your heart. You're not afraid to put your heart on the scales of Ma'at. If a whole nation was based on the principle of Ma'at, which is balance, truth, and righteousness, that is where your health relationship is going to come from. Are you in a state of balance? Are you in a state of truth and honesty? Are you in a state of right living, right thinking? To get the reciprocity at this time, is it time yet for this relationship? It may not be that time. Or then again, you may be afraid, but that relationship is showing you that you can be fearless. So you have to go into your prayers and do a fast, do a 24-hour fast, do a 7-day detox and ask, is this related? If you're not clear yet, and then you'll get your messages from up on high within, and you will then be able to move in the spirit going forward. Did you learn your lessons from the past relationship? That's the inventory. And you will see that through the conversation that you share with this being, that it's a whole nother experience, like a whole new you is coming and emerging through.
You know, I want to encourage the sisters, especially the new sisters, the sisters who are just coming onto this path, who are just, you just found out about Queen, you just, you know, you, and you're loving what you're hearing. Stick close to Queen, okay? Stick real close to Queen Afua, okay? And the reason I say that is this. There are a lot of brothers out there, okay, who have found out in recent years that the sisters are going on the spiritual path, you know. The sisters are going in, you know, they're walking a new walk, they're talking a new talk, and I need, in order to get with these sisters, I need to learn that language, and I need to, you know, talk that talk, so, you know, and walk that walk so that I can, you know, still continue to get with them. And many sisters, unfortunately, have been duped, okay, by brothers who have found out that, okay, so this is the new language now. what everybody's talking about now. They're talking about juicing and fasting and, you know, oh, they're wearing the Unk now, and, you know, so I need to get with that program. So why, if you're new to this, you need to stay as close to Queen as you possibly can, okay, and learn as much as you can, because they're brothers. I hate to say it, but it's true. I wouldn't be your brother if I didn't tell you that there are brothers out here that have learned to talk the talk. And if you're not careful, okay, then they will cause you to fall and get off your throne. So please stay close to Queen, okay? And as Queen said, continue to juice and fast and do your meditation so that you can hear from the Almighty, so that you're not tricked and slicked, because there are people out here that are learning that, okay, in order to, oh, this is the new lady, this is the new language, let me learn to speak that language. You know, any thoughts on that, Queen?
Oh, yes. Well, the point of healing and can stay on your healing quest is to be more intuitive. So you actually begin to wake up the ucha, which is your pineal gland. You start to see past one's flesh and what one is saying. You begin to hear from the inner plane and see from the inner eye, the all-seeing eye, the ucha. And that means somebody can say something, and if you just relax and really pay attention to your inner soul, you'll be able to hear the truth of what they're really saying. And you can actually slow their roll. But if you don't, but if you're still not healed up and you're still anxious, you just want to get somebody, and, you know, you just want to have somebody to hug, you just want to go through all of that, that means you still haven't healed up, you're still stressing. And so the more that you stay in the circle of the healing, and so you can continue, you'll be more in tune in who is attracted to you at the same time. And when they do come to you, don't rush the intimacy. Why are they coming? They need to meet your family, your blood family, your mother, your father, your aunt. Because if they have something to hide, they don't want to come to your family. They need to meet your sister. They need to sit down and say, you know, and you need to meet their family. You need to get their background. So you get a background check. Let's learn each other. Let's study each other. Let's reflect. Let's have conversation. Let's do some reading together. Let's go to the museum. Let's ponder. Let's don't rush. You give a few seasons. Everything will come out of front. Well, why can't we just get a kiss? Why can't we just, we're grown, and then, you know, okay, we're having some problems here. Do you want a woman on a high level, or you just want somebody? If you want a woman, a mate, on a very high level, then we have to make sure, we have to ensure that everything is in a divine alignment. And then you can also bring the brother to the circle and let the elder women get a chance to sit down and ask some questions. So what's your background? Who are you? Where are you going? See, when you bring stuff to the light, they say, oh, this is serious. I just can't pluck her. When we go to the botanical gardens, we do that, particularly the spring, and they place the lotus at a distance. And even in Kemet, you can't just jump into the water and grab the lotus. It's placed at a distance. So if you jump into the water, they will snatch you out of the water. Because the lotus is the most revered, uplifting plant, flower, that represents a high being of people, represents Nefertum, the lotus woman, the lotus man. So you can't just grab the lotus and just start running. You have to have respect. You have to have reverence. You have to be in great communication. You have to need families. You have to come with something, come developed, come with great offerings. And that, as a woman, she has to do her work too. She has to do her work on herself and her evolution, body, mind, spirit, relationship, economics. Everything has to come into alignment for the relationship to get any beyond holding hands, walking, and discussing. Because we're talking about developing queens. And in order for the queen to be developed, she has to be sure of where and how she's walking, to be in tune. And we want kings. You know, the valley of the kings, the valley of the queens, we have to come back into our royalty, our holistic royal self, in order not to beat each other up, curse each other out, pass STDs to one another. We have to stop because we are hurting each other. And so as we are more in tune, as women, then our men will work harder to be more in tune as men. As long as we don't say yes before it's time. and let him go through protocols and let us have ceremony. Let us really go into studying one another and what have we created, because that relationship can be with you for life. Even if you in the relationship, you may have children together, and then that relationship is with you for life.
Everybody, I know that you have enjoyed this just as much as I have. I'm going to give everybody one last opportunity to speak to Queen. If you have a question or a comment, just want to say hi, all you have to do is just press 1 on your telephone, and then I can bring you on. If you're listening online, the number is 347-324-5727. Again, otherwise, just press 1 on your telephone, and it'll let me know that you want to speak with Queen. Again, I want to thank everybody for your time. But also, just to let everybody know, if you like what you heard today, you can follow this show on Blog Talk Radio, and it will alert you every time that I have a show. Now, I normally do the shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays. This is a special Wednesday show. But tomorrow, I've got as my special guest, Dr. Ruby Lathan, who's cured herself of thyroid cancer. We're going to be talking about how to reverse brain tumors naturally. Okay, so this is the type of shows that we do. We do shows on holistic health. My special guests are Queen of Fua, Shechem and Shechem, Dr. Rao, Nefa Amen, members, priests and priestesses with the Osiriset Society, healers. I mean, so if this is something that you enjoy today, then and you're listening, all you have to do is just follow the show, and it will let you know whenever there's going to be another show. Queen and I have done so many shows. I want to recommend a few to you. We did a show called Lotus Love and Lavender. You remember that one, Queen?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, that was wonderful. I remember because I believe I read a piece from my book, Overcoming an Angry Vagina, Journey to Moon Wellness. It was on overcoming and the forgiveness of man to woman,
yes,
and woman to man. Yeah, I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was powerful. That is in the archives. So everybody, if you scroll down the archives, you'll see Lotus Love and Lavender. I would encourage everybody to listen to that. And that was part 2 of the first show that we had done, not the first show we had done, but the show we had done the week before on relationships. Mm-hmm. We titled that one Fire and Desire. Okay, so that is another show that's in the archives with Queen of Fool. Also, Overcoming an Angry Vagina, we did that show. People are still going back and listening to that show. You got to hear that. I mean, Queen really, really breaks it down. These are shows that are in the archives that if you just scroll down the archives, you'll see these shows with Queen of Fool and other healers again. Because once you embark upon this path, you need to have a place that you can go, even if it's not a physical place, but a place where you can go to hear shows that are going to reinforce your new mindset, okay? Shows that are going to reinforce. You want to hear Queen of Fool, right, all the time, right? I know. I'm the same way. So you want to have a place where you can go where you can get that information, right? So I just invite you to follow the show, and you'll be notified every time that there's a show, and I guarantee you that there'll be something that you like. But now I want to make sure that this Sunday you know where you're going to be. This Sunday is the Sacred Woman Ascension, and it's going to be it's from death to resurrection. It's a musical drama, and that is this Sunday, December the 17th, and that is from 2 until 10 p.m., that's 2 p.m. until 10 p.m., at the Black Lady Theater at 750 Nostrand Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. The zip code there is 11216. From 2 to 6 p.m., that's the ceremony. There's going to be the ceremony, intermission, and the nutrition kitchen. And from 6 to 10 p.m., it's the Meshkinet Marketplace. That's going to be the Sacred Woman Expo and the after party. So you don't want to miss that. And tickets are only, this is an all-day event, y'all, basically. Okay, from 2 to 10, I mean, only $25, okay? You blow $25 during the course of, some people blow it during the course of a day, okay? So take somebody with you, all right? This will be a perfect opportunity for you to take somebody with you, show them a good time. They can see this awesome, awesome production and actually see it. It's one thing, I mean, as much as you enjoyed Queen of Fua on this interview today, can you imagine seeing Queen of Fua and 100 women, okay, in a musical drama? There's nothing like the visual. So you got to go. That's this Sunday, okay, the 17th, from 2 to 10 p.m. at the Black Lady Theater, 750 Nostrand Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11216. Again, from 2 to 6, that's the ceremony. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss any of it. But the ceremony is from 2 to 6, and there'll be intermission in the Nutrition Kitchen. And from 6 to 10, it's the Mesconette Marketplace, the Sacred Woman Expo, and the after party. Now, if you want more information or if you want to get your tickets advanced online, okay, this is the website, www.sacredwoman.us. Again, that's www.sacredwoman.us. Sister Queen, I can't
thank you
enough
for all of the many
years you have loved us. You have loved us. It's one thing for people to say I love you, and it's another thing for people to show that they love you. And you have showed us. You've written books for the sisters. You've written books for the men. I mean, you have loved us, and we love you back. And I just want to thank you so much for all of the work that you've done. And I just pray that God continue to give you the strength, because, you know, we're waiting on the next book. I know you creating healers, and I guess you're waiting for us to start writing our books, right? But we love your work so much.
Thank you. And those who are in different parts of the country or the world, you can join us on Facebook and just check in Sacred Woman Ascension. So you'll be with us still at 2 o'clock. And then for those who are interested in Sacred Woman taking the journey, it's coming up, or taking the Womb, Breast, Heart Care Practitioner Training, that's also coming up, or the 21-Day Detox, give us a call at 888-344-4325. Again, 888-344-4325. I'm doing 10-minute free tune-ups for those who want to take the next step towards their journey. Thank you so much, my brother Juwanza. You're so wonderful to us. You, just like I love my folks, you do too. And I thank you for all your devotion over the years, over the decades. Give thanks.
Thank you so much, Queen. I have to say, you, it was because of you. I came into contact with this whole spiritual path as a result of seeing a group of, it was the first retreat, it was December 1998. You took a group of sisters, and Moot Ma'at Hederu, Ankh, was in that group, Mucha Shopness, Ma'at Nefer was in that group. As a matter of fact, Jewel Pookrum was in the group.
Wow, you remember all of that? Wow. That was it.
Yes, I do.
That
they all came
amazing.
To the Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for bringing
I was blown
that.
Away. And
that was the first retreat of Sacred Woman. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. That was amazing.
Yes. That was December of 1998. I remember. That's the impression that it left on. Matter of fact, I'll even blow your mind. It was December the 3rd.
Oh.
Okay, if I'm not
Oh, my God. Thank you.
That's the impression that it left on me, okay? Mm. And that was just seeing the sisters, you know. I was like, wow, I don't know who this Queen of Fua is, but I got to find out, you know.
Oh,
and I found out, and I've been following you ever since, and every time I get an opportunity to share you with other people, then that's what I do. My airwaves are open to you anytime.
Anytime. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. It was wonderful. Give thanks.
Awesome. Likewise. Okay. So to everybody, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. You could have done anything, but you've taken time out of your day to spend it with Queen and myself, and so I thank you so much for that. Queen, I'll be in touch, sister, and everybody. I know where you're going to be Sunday. You're going to be with Queen of Sisters, Queen of Fua and the sisters, celebrating the Sacred Woman Ascension from death to resurrection. Queen, thank you so much. I'll be in touch. Hetepu. Everybody, that was Queen of Fua. Thank you so much for your time. Again, you can follow the show. All you have to do is just click follow, okay? And every time there's a show, you will be notified. So, again, my name is Juwanza, and I don't take you for granted. Sisters, congratulations for all that you've done. Congratulations for all of your hard work. I mean, you're doing it. You're healing. you're healing. Don't you love the you that you're becoming? You're still becoming. Don't you love you? I know you do, and I love you too. So until the next time, hey, you. Sorry, but we got to go. Peace. At the pool.
We're going to try and come back one day. You know, God willing, because I remember used to say these three special words. Used to say, hey, you. I see you on my blank sheet before I write or form or recall this situation now. My memories choke me and stain my pillow as my voice becomes hollow as I trace tear lines around a space that won't fill. And I feel nothing but this way, and the emptiness stays and is cluttered with a silence that teases me and leads me on like it's gonna say, like it's gonna say. Outside in the rain in an attempt to dissolve away or just disappear or be gone, be back or be just. I try to see the point, I only see the pain. My dreams cry when they're slain. I regain consciousness to blurry vision. I try to listen out for whispers of, keep that going. We're gonna make this old school real quick.